Well, welcome today. Thank you guys so much for making the effort to be here on this beautiful, beautiful morning. I'm so glad that you are here and that we've gotten to share this time together. And I'm just going to pray for a minute because I don't know about you, but getting in front of a lot of people, it still makes me a little nervous. And so I really am asking the God of heaven to truly fill my mouth this morning because I want his words to echo the loudest. And so, Lord, we just invite you in this moment. We invite you to come. We invite you, Lord, I just pray that I would have ears to hear and that my mouth would speak what is straight from heaven, not of myself, but Lord, what your heart is for this precious people. So just be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I don't take this lightly. Anytime that you're standing behind a pulpit, there is a lot of responsibility with what's going to be coming out your mouth. And so I have just really ask God time and time again, is this what you want? And he hasn't given me any other answer, so I'm moving forward with it. Now, you got the answer really before I am asking the question. So everybody should get this right, okay? I'm just kind of giving you the heads up. You all have a good chance at answering this question. So what do you think is one of the most common commands in the Bible? See, this is going to go great. You guys got the answers, and like we should just be able to move forward. You know, a lot of people say, fear not, maybe praise the Lord, sing praises. All of those are commands that are in the Bible, and they're full of them. But there is one that's simply remember. And you're kind of like, okay, well, if God's telling us to do something, then I should probably pay attention, right? So why do I need to remember? Why would God tell me remember? And how many believe that the Lord knows us, right? He knows us, okay? So he also knows that we're probably kind of a fickle people, right? We can get easily distracted. We can get consumed with lots of other things. And we can just tend to forget. So I had just a kind of a busier week. And we had a phone call that we were supposed to pick up Taylor's glasses because he had gotten some glasses. And someone along the way told me that. I did not remember at all. And a week went by. And another week went by, and finally, Taylor's like, Mom, are you going to get my glasses? And I'm like, yeah, this is going to be the blank face of, like, I completely forgot. Like, it wasn't even on my radar, you know, like, someday I just didn't get there. No, like, it wasn't even on the, you know, it wasn't in my planner, it wasn't on the phone, it wasn't even in here. And I'm like, oh, we forget things. And so what's really funny is we're like, okay, but we're going to remember the important things, right? Like the important things we'll surely remember. But sometimes we don't remember the important things. So I'm going to read from Judges 2:10. It's just kind of showing us how quickly people can forget. It says, After that, which in this one is bearing Joshua, okay? So, you know, they've come in, they've been led by Moses in the wilderness, they come across the river or the sea, and they're coming in and they're, you know, kind of getting all the promised land. And they're going from place to place and they're getting all the promised land, and so this was a wonderful time. And they're in their new land, and it's great. And it says, after that, whole generation, so the generation with Joshua, had been gathered to their fathers, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. One generation had forgotten. Now, this is despite the fact that they were living in an entire system that was set up for them to remember, because they had feasts, and festivals and Sabbaths. Their entire way of living was actually set up to remember the things about God, his provision, his deliverance, his goodness, his rest. And so I think that sometimes we think, well, we won't forget the big things. But I think sometimes we get busy and our eyes go other places and we can forget the big things. What's also interesting is that I can guarantee you that we would each remember things differently. So, right? So this morning, if I went and interviewed every single one of you and said, now you tell me how the morning went, there would be some consistent threads. You know, some people are going to remember Sydney's card, and others are going to remember, you know, maybe something Kirk said. Someone's going to remember a song. They're going to remember things, but they're all going to be a little bit different, right? And we remember things differently because of the experiences that we've had up to this point. So there's certain things that are highlighted or carry a greater weight to them. And so that's great, except when it isn't. Because sometimes what we remember actually isn't the truth. Right? Or it's not the whole truth. It's just a segment or a portion, okay? And so this morning, I really wanted to talk about remembering and really kind of digging into some truths of God to remember. So I'm going to read Lamentations. Now, this was so funny because this verse, if you would remember this morning, has been all over. It has been spoken, I think it was spoken in the prayer room. It's been spoken out here numerous times already this morning. And this is, why should we remember and what should we remember? Well, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. When I remember, then I dare to hope. Then I remember why I am alive. I remember why I can face today and tomorrow. I remember why I dare to hope and believe in the God of the universe. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance or portion, depending on your version. Therefore, I will hope in him. I'm going to remember. So the next set of verses is Psalm 42, 5 through 6. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you. Why do we remember? We remember because in our moments of despair, in our moments of hopelessness, our remembering is what draws us back, right? It draws us back to the line. It draws us back where maybe our eyes have kind of gotten off and we're not walking in the wholeness and fullness of God anymore. We're in despair because we've lost hope because we've forgotten, right? So we're going to take a few moments today to do exactly what the scriptures tell us to do. We're going to remember. Now, I have timed this. There's a lot of remembering that's going to be going on, and I have about 3 minutes per thing. So we're going to talk fast, but we're going to remember, okay? And while this particular message, you know, we're going to look at some ladies in the Bible, the things that we're remembering, we're going to look at some specific women in the Bible and how they walked out the truth that we're going to remember, okay? There's lots of scripture, and I was going to apologize for that, but then I'm like, no, it's the life, living word of God. So more than what I can speak, that can speak louder. And so I just pray that it settles inside of us and that the truth, you know, a lot of these you're going to be like, yeah, I know that. Yep, I remember that. Yep. But there might be one. There might be one that's been forgotten that we just need to be reminded of this morning. All right, so the first R, you remember, is right now is right for now. Okay? And we're going to talk about Esther, and I'm going to talk really quick. So Esther is a Jew, and she had lost her parents, and she was living with Mordecai. And the king in that area got really unhappy with his wife, Queen Vashti. And so then she decided, I'm going to go find me a new wife. And so basically Esther was rounded up, leaving her family, going into a palace, got all the wonderfulness of being in the palace, but is separated from her family. How do you think Esther would feel in that moment? Do you think things would feel very right? Would they feel good? Right. You're uncertain about your future. You're not really sure what's going on. But then we come to this verse. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther ended up being the key to the deliverance for her people. Because of where she was placed, even though it did not feel right at the time, she ended up being a key to saving the entire nation. It didn't feel right. But God knew and used that situation and made it right. Okay? So I just want to remind you, moms, you're chosen for this exact moment. This time in history, we can go, oh man, it's so hard and to raise kids, I don't even know. No, you were chosen for this moment in history. You were chosen for this place in geography. You were chosen for the family that you're in. Whether that fills you with delight or whether that fills you with, some days this is really hard. You're chosen for that place. And you're chosen for the physical tent and the emotional makeup that you have. The next slide says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven together, meaning the pieces chosen and put together by design, okay? Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Yet as none, there was none of them. You have a specific purpose. Right now is right now. It doesn't mean that changes don't come. I'm not talking about weird, abusive situations, stuff like that, okay? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about that it is no mistake where you are and that God can use you in that moment where you are for his glory. Okay, next one, E. You are equipped and enough because you rely on him. Okay. Raise of hands, mom. Who has ever felt like they were never enough? There's not enough of you to go around. There's not enough to do the dishes and take care of the baby and go to work and do the garden. And like some days, like there's just not enough of me. Can you just take a piece? Nope. Everything's gone, right? I want to talk about somebody. We're going to talk about Mary for just a moment. Okay? And it says, I love this. for no word from God will ever fail. Like, I couldn't not put that on the screen. Like, it's not even Mary talking there, but I'm like, we just need to see that and just dwell on it for a while. For no word from God will ever fail. Because see, in this moment, when she's speaking this, an angel has just come to her and said, oh, by the way, you're going to bear the Son of God. Okay. And she says, well, how can this be? And through other words, no word from God will ever fail. She was equipped by the Lord, and she was enough because the Lord made her so. And it says, her response is, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to your word. Mary offered a surrendered spirit and relied on the Lord to complete his purposes. She was insignificant by the terms of her culture at that time, but God used her life greatly beyond anything she would have ever dreamed. I can't tell you how many times, sometimes we'll hear a situation or something and we'll just be like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't feel like I'm up for this, okay? And what a beautiful reminder, Philippians 2:3, for God is working in you, giving you the desire, giving you the want to, giving you the desire to walk out his plan and the power to do what pleases him. He gives us both. How about this next one, Hebrews? Sorry, guys, it's small. I didn't know that when I was banking it. Now may the God of peace, and I'm going to just skip that section, but equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Now, if you look at both of these, do you see something in both of them? Where is it at? Pleasing to him pleases him. See, the key of Mary being equipped and enough was that she was about the work that the Lord had called her to do. It pleased him. And so he completed and he gave the power and he worked that through her that it might be done. You are equipped. You are enough. All right, next one. We are made for relationship. Yes, this verse was also talked. We're going to talk about Eve, okay? So Eve, we love Eve. We also really dislike Eve. I'm so glad you're a helper. I am not excited about what you did, okay? But it says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, I just want to think, I want you to think about this for just a moment, okay? The first woman, Eve, all that she knew was a perfect relationship with her husband and her father. That's all she knew before sin. Okay? Because I don't know about you, but in my relationship with my husband, we just celebrated anniversary then. I wouldn't say we have a perfect relationship, would you? It's okay, you can you can freely answer. Be truthful.
No, it's not.
It's not at all. But we are sinful people. And so guess what we add to the mix? Things that are not perfect, right? And it affects our relationship. So it is not perfect. All right. But up to this point, Eve just knew perfection in her relationships. And she never knew what it was like to feel alone. Ever. Up until sin. She never knew because she had this perfect relationship. And I want to take that as an example that how beautiful that regardless of our relationship experiences on this earth, whether we're single, married, widowed, maybe we've been left, rejected, there is still available to us a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that is unlike anything that we could ever know here on this earth. We never have to be alone. And I think it's kind of funny, most moms would be like, yeah, I'm trying to escape into the bathroom for like 2 minutes to be alone. Yep, you lock the door. Callie, it just never fails. You go in, lock the door, all of a sudden, hands. You see it, mom, hands. Can't be alone. But at the same time, as a mom, you can feel very alone. Inwardly, you can feel alone. No one understands. Who do I go to with this? Maybe you don't have a lot of time to connect with friends, and so you're just like, I don't know who to connect with. I don't feel alone. My husband, you know, maybe there's stuff going on. I just feel really alone. Just want to remind you, you're never alone. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Next one, E. You're going to experience seasons. Today is not forever. And that's for good and for bad. Today is not forever. Some of you might be in a good season. So I would say, steward it well. Enjoy the moments. Drink them in. Those sustain you in those other seasons when things are not so good. So we're going to talk about Ruth for a minute. Ruth lived in a faraway land. I don't remember the place at the moment. But it talks about that their land had experienced famine. Okay? Now we know how a nation can get kind of turned upside down. Okay? And so this nation is going through famine. And it says that she was married for 10 years, but there were no children. So I just want to think, in that culture, not having a child was really a mark of shame. Okay? So up to this point, she's known famine, shame, and then her father-in-law and her brother-in-law and her husband all die. She knows grief. She knows loss. And then she knows fear as she follows her mother-in-law, Naomi, into a new land with new people. They're not the people that she grew up with. These are new people. Okay? A new country, new customs, new everything. And then she experiences a beautiful love story. And she ends up being in the lineage of the Messiah. There's a lot of seasons there. There's a lot that she experienced. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. You know, every season has purpose. Every season has purpose. And every season can be utilized to bring forth fruit. Sometimes we just don't see it yet because the things that are happening in the hidden places. They're happening underneath the ground. We can't see it, but there's work that's being done. There's preparation that's being done. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever season you're in, there's fruit. There's fruit waiting to come forth. Don't waste our season, no matter what it is. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And then this next slide has one of my favorites. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Let's just take that out of the Bible. Okay? How many are like, yes, I'm bearing fruit. This is awesome. Okay, let's just cut you. Yeah. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Maybe you're in a season of pruning right now. Oh, but look ahead to the next season. Enjoy the season that you're in. Don't just, you know, be like, oh, if only this next one, because we're gonna lose out on the lessons of that season. But also be excited that there is a season that is also going to be coming ahead, and fruit is going to be there. It says, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What is the key for being in seasons well? It's abiding. It's staying close. It's allowing his life to flow through us in every moment. The hard, the happy, the pressing, the joyful. M, you are more than a title. More than Marno and Marn Dog and however many were listed on that thing. Oh my goodness. But you are more than a title. You're more than the title that others put on you, and you're more than the title that you put on yourself. And more than anything, as we're going to talk about Rahab in just a minute, we have to remember that our worth and our identity and our salvation comes nowhere but through whose we are. That's the only place that we can really find our identity and our title. And because of whose we are, there are no limits on the titles that we just may end up wearing, but they're the titles that he gives us. And they're places that sometimes we don't expect. So let's look at Rahab really quick. The story is Joshua and the Israelites are coming into the land. They're going up to this place, and they send out spies to check it out, right? And Rahab... they went into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there, okay? And so, one, she takes a risk, okay? Right? She's letting these spies into her home. This is the enemy that she's letting into her home. She takes a risk. Why does she take this risk? We're going to skip to verse 11. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab recognized something that not everybody else recognized. Rahab recognized an opportunity, okay? And she recognized who the Lord was. And so by housing these spies, she says, the one thing I ask of you, when you come, protect my family. It's the one thing I ask. I'll take the risk. I'll hide you in my home. They're going to come and they're going to ask. I could get in really big trouble, okay? But I'm going to trust that you're going to honor your word. And because I recognize that you are part, that your God is the Lord God of heaven and earth, I'm going to go ahead and step out in that faith. Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna step out. And because she did, her life was transformed from a prostitute, a fallen woman, to a chosen woman. From a bad girl to a bride. From a mess to a mom. And from a prostitute, this word, from a progenitor of the Messiah. That was a quote from someone else, by the way. Sorry. I don't speak with that words. But meaning a predecessor, okay? She was a prostitute, guys. She ended up being in the very lineage of Jesus. She was a foreigner. And she became in the lineage of Jesus. God can rewrite and redefine your story in ways that are beyond your comprehension. But we have to trust him, be willing to take those step of faith. When we recognize who the Lord God is and how he's working, you're more than a title. Let him give you the titles, right? Next one, believe. Almost there. I'm working fast. Believe in impossible things because our God is a God of the impossible. We have access to heavenly realms and tools that are not on this earth. What we see here is not it. What we see here is not it. We're so tactile. We're so, this is it. This is everything. No, we live for a kingdom that is greater than this. We live for a kingdom that is beyond. And because we live for that kingdom, we have access to that kingdom. And we need to remember that we have access to that kingdom. We're going to talk about Elizabeth. Her husband went in. He was a priest. And it says in Luke, both of them were righteous, her husband, the priest, were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. I'm sorry, I could not write that for me on my, like, that is not what I desire it, but that would not be behind Marnie. She observed all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. No, as much as I would love that, that wouldn't be behind me, but for them, that's what the word says, so I'm going to believe it. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. What you could just put after that is, it was hopeless. It was hopeless. But the story goes that Zechariah goes in, and an angel appears. And he says, the prayers that you have prayed are going to be answered. And he pretty much just mouth open, shock. Are you sure? Right? Because that's impossible. It's impossible. And you have to remember that up to this point, this was before Jesus was coming, God had been silent for 400 years. Now, all of a sudden, an angel is showing up and saying, the impossible is going to happen in your life. Are you sure? And so he gets struck silent. Let's not question God when he tells us things. That's not a fear statement. That's just, if we're part of a kingdom where the king can do impossible things, then let's believe for impossible things. Ouch, that hurts me. Eventually says, the Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done this for me. Not a oops in my genetic makeup, all of a sudden something crazy happened. No, she gave praise to where it was due. The Lord has done this for me. So the next slide is, they prayed. And one of the things that Kirk and I are discovering, one of the things that we're discovering is the power of prayer. We have access to the King of Heaven. We have access to his ear. We have access. Ephesians 6:10 through 12, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, but it's against the forces that are out there. We have access. We have tools to be able to affect things in this realm, in that kingdom. Okay? The prayers of a righteous man. Oops, I didn't put that one in there. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. We serve a God of the impossible. Let us not forget that. E, every day is full of new mercies and new opportunities. You have a future. Moms, sometimes the monotony of the day. We get up, we do this, we go do this, we go do this. Okay? Sometimes that doesn't feel like a future. Sometimes you stop looking forward to the future. I'm sure no other mom has ever felt that. You should see what I'm looking at right now. They're looking at me like, no, not me. And I'm like, I just revealed something horrible about myself. Oh, well. I'm glad that you guys never felt that way. We're actually going to talk about Abigail. She is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Okay, Abigail is married to this guy. Ready? His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and she was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. Sorry, that just cracks me up. She's like, she's married to just kind of a not nice person. We'll just call him a jerk, okay? She's married to this jerk, and because she's married to this guy, right, he's going to kind of get her in trouble, or could get her and all the family in trouble, because King David was out taking care of some, like, kind of watching their sheep and different things, and all they wanted was to be able to have some water and some food. Nice payment for keeping all your animals. What's it called? I just forgot it. I feel a lot of shame that I cannot think of what the word is for when you have livestock. There we go. I'm in front of a church where there's like ranchers and stuff, and I can't think of livestock. Okay. Anyway, so nice payment. And so when they send the servants to kind of go ask them, Nabal does not respond very nicely. Okay. He does not respond well at all, in fact. And so pretty much David decides, well, fine, then we're just going to come kill all your family. Don't want to respond that way, okay? But Abigail, and I love this about her, despite her circumstances, she continued to serve well. Now, don't take this out of context. I'm not talking about abusive situations, okay? But she continued to serve and honor her husband well. And so she says, he did not respond well, so I am going to go and I am going to offer David a meal and provisions and pray that he will accept my offering. And so he does. The story goes on. Nabal, he just didn't quite get it. And so he continued to do something that wasn't really wise. And his servants tell him something that strikes great fear in his heart, and he dies. Okay? His wife did what she could to protect and to honor him. Okay? His own choices caused death for him. But now look at what happens. His servants went to Carmel, David's, and said to Abigail, this is after they heard that Nabal had died, David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife. She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, I am your servant, and I am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my Lord's servants. Because she was faithful in that moment of protecting and honoring her husband while also serving King David, when the circumstances were really turned upside down for her, because now her husband was dead. And widows were not necessarily treated well in that time. David comes and sees the character within her and says, will you be my wife? And she becomes royalty. So you're like, okay, so what you're saying is you should kill my husband and then a royal king will marry me. Please understand my heart with this. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is she honored her husband and his choices caused things, but because she remained full of character, and because she sees the opportunity that was before her by offering things, God worked in that situation. And I love this. The next slide is, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Guys, we will not live this life perfect as much as we want to. We need his mercies every day so that we can walk in the opportunities of God before him. R, the last one. Oh, we're going to make it. Well, not quite in the time I planned, but close. Reveal Jesus. You reveal Jesus. But we can't reveal Jesus if we don't know who he is. We can't reveal Jesus if we aren't spending time with him. So what character are we going to look at? We're going to look at you. You are the character in this story that is being written. You can reveal Jesus in a way that nobody else can. You have an influence. You have a circle. You have your children. You have your workplace. You have a destiny and footsteps set before you that only you can. The word says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You reveal Christ. But in order to reveal Christ, we have to hold firmly to his word. We have to know him. We have to find those moments to spend time with him. As we end, we've gone over these truths, and maybe there's one that just kind of, I needed to remember that today. I pray so. I pray that God breathed on my words and awakened something in you, a remembrance. But I want to tell just a really quick story about how we can actually build an altar of remembrance. Now, I'm not talking anything weird, okay? But back in the Israelite days, they would build altars. And the very purpose of that altar was to remember. It was to remember what God did in that moment. And some of us, we're having a hard time remembering some things. And so we need to build an altar. Maybe that altar is just a scripture that is put someplace that you'll see it, or that little plaque that was in the mother's things. Be grateful. I need to remember that today. Okay? We need to have moments where we build these altars or times of remembrances. So the last story I just want to share with you is in our home, we have a little chalkboard, right? As we're going to head out the door, we hang our keys on it, and on it is written, "It is well." And Aspen, it's been like that for years. And Aspen asked me a few times, "Mom, do you think we can change that now? Can we put something else on it?" And I've just honestly, I've thought about it, but then I've resisted, because that "it is well" is actually an altar of remembrance for me. And I haven't been able to, because when I wrote those words on that chalkboard, things were really different in my life. And now, years later, just because of different things that we've walked through, those words hold more meaning. I am not the same person that I was when I wrote "it is well" on that. And the "it is well" that holds now holds a whole new depth to it. And so I've resisted changing it because I want to remember. When I look at those words, I want to remember and go, I am not the same person that I was then. And that also encourages me that I won't be the same person later on that I am now. Right? Because we're changing, we're growing, we're leaning in. So moms, I want to encourage you, everybody, look at your life. Where can you build an altar of remembrance? Right? Like, maybe it's a chalkboard. Maybe it's a sign you see in a store that has a scripture or something that you need to remember. Put it up where you can see it and allow God to grow and change us in every moment. So God, we just thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak. And Lord, I just pray that your words were spoken today. And Lord, I just pray for anybody here. Maybe they need to remember that you're the Lord God that loves them, that you gave your life for them, and that there is a whole new life available to them. Lord, I pray that you would meet them right now in this moment, revealing who you are. And Lord, as we walk out these doors today, God, I pray that we would remember who you are and all that you have done for us and how we can walk different and changed because we're remembering the truths of God that do not change. Bless the moms, bless the kids, bless the families, hearts for the family. Lord, just give them an amazing day today. In Jesus' name, amen.